The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And it's always a pleasure to be a host on this wonderful Friday. And I hope everyone is enjoying their evening. And I hope that you go tonight and really enjoy yourself and have a wonderful time. You know, like I say, you work hard from Monday, at least from Sunday to Monday. I mean, Sunday to Friday, basically. And, you know, you are entitled to enjoy yourself. So just when you go, clear your head and make sure that anyone annoying, refrain from them. You know, don't pay them no mind and just enjoy yourself. Okay? Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio 96.9, 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And you can listen in on 969 Cable Bahamas. You can listen live broadcast of the show. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show, Inside the Inner City, that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. And to each and every one of you who I may not know personally, but for all of you who appreciate me on radio and doing a great job as you guys say I'm doing, I appreciate it and I'm encouraged and it's glad to see that people say stand out from a lot of other people in the profession. It means that I'm neutral, I'm honest, I'm fair, and you can have a dialogue with me on this show. And most importantly, I really am doing all this to better the country that I live in so that the future generation that is upcoming in the next future, I'm talking about in the primary school, then they're going to go to junior school and they're going to go to senior school. You know, they're the ones who are going to take the reins and propel this country forward. As far as who are the leaders in different areas, some of us teachers, some of us doctors, some of us lawyers, some of us are parents, you know, some of us are just guardians, and we all are driving that next generation in the right direction. And one thing we have to keep in mind is that the work never ends. And I would like to congratulate all of the community activists, all of the persons who take the time to really pay attention to the kids, those who take time to teach the teachings of the Bible the right way. And what the right way is, meaning is that, you know, you have to go in the forward, have an open heart to show kindness and love and compassion and willing to feel those persons' pain and be able to assist knowing the pain and struggle they are going through. So I want to thank each and every one of you in your different professions, different fields of giving back. Thank you very much. Today's show, We're going to talk about, there was a little uproar lately in the news, social media concerning a very important matter. Just recently, you know, the Ministry of Education, Minister Lenis Hannah Martin, who I highly respect. I think that she's been doing a phenomenal job for the last 15, 20 years, sitting as MP for the great constituency that she presents. Not only that, she's been a very outspoken person concerning matters across the country. She's been responsible when she was the aviation minister for actually, you know, negotiating for our airspace on behalf of the government. Not knowing to many of us, you know, we might not notice, but she has made great contribution in making that come to fruition. In fact, now we are getting paid from aviation, from the United States and other places who are using our airspace as a way of quicker travel, burning less fuel. So, yeah, she is a phenomenon MP who has contributed greatly. She is now elected again, I think it's the third or fourth time, for the great constituency of Anglesden, and she now is the Minister of Education. She previously stated after the general election when she was able to become Minister of Education, there were a lot of kids not partaking in the virtual learning classes that were being presented by the Ministry of Education. And in doing so, as becoming minister, she saw that there were a lot of absentees, and according to statistics from the Ministry of Education, they indicated that, you know, many students were failing and have fall back years because of the COVID-19 pandemic, which took away, I think, 2 years of studies. So many of those kids lost interest, wouldn't lost interest, was doing what a kid not supposed to do, but they were basically, many of these kids were basically taking care of themselves, you know, because they were on the streets, you know, they was not taking a virtual reality classes from the Ministry of Education that was, you know, on iPads and, you know, free Wi-Fi zones. And, you know, many of these kids were just surviving. And it strikes me that it's such an uproar in the country that the ministry, you know, has a program that they have get monitors. I mean, you know, persons like what the Ministry of Environment and the Office of the Prime Minister hired to monitor the streets for derelict vehicles, abandoned houses, and garbage collection and bulk waste. So, similar system. They hired monitors who would go to the inner city communities and the Bahamas at large to find these absentee kids, you know, who are missing school and find out why they're not attending school. Well, that's a simple answer to that. Everyone poor, and that's the end of the story, okay? And school don't motivate these kids nowadays because they're so distracted by the atmosphere of their community. You know, they're becoming more growing up faster than them, becoming kids and growing in steps. You know, you be child first, then you grow to be a teenager. You know, that's about, well, you think about 10 years. I mean, you're 13 and you go like 7 years. I mean, to 18, 19. Yeah, I think the 19, about 8, 9 years. And then you become a young female or a young man. So you mature, and in between there, you're supposed to have the proper guidance to make you a decent human being, to make you a respectful human being. You know, to make you an intelligent person to read and write, and to know that when you go to fill out an application form, you had a proper education, you know. And many of the kids, them, are not interested in that because school doesn't present none for the kids besides maths and English, you know. So, in being the person she is, she, I guess, the ministry formed this task force. It's more like, you know, monitor. It's more like truant officers just being reintroduced with a different name. And they've been looking for kids. And they said they were shocked to find a 12-year-old student living in a car. You know, just 12 years old. And we wonder why we have teenage pregnancy. We wonder why we have so many young boys going to boys' industrial school or the Simpson Pen. We wonder why so many young boys are going to prison from the age of 13, 14, 15. I mean, the boys' industrial, some go to prison around 15, 16, some even go 14. You know, and you're wondering why. Why? Why? The reason why is because it seems to me that the people who govern this country, for some strange reason, they just forget. They just forget that the Progressive Liberal Party, right, and the Free National Movement, but especially the Progressive Liberal Party, members who have the opportunity to be a candidate, and then if they're successful in the general election, to become a member of parliament, it's a great honor and privilege to hold those positions. Why was the party formed? So it was formed, according to my knowledge, what it was formed for, it was formed because we wanted to give the Irish Bahamian people an opportunity, hey, to have a square deal in this land. A square deal. Okay? That's what the Progressive Liberal Party was formed for. And in that square deal, it means land. It means empowerment. It means that when this party that was formed for the people, by the people, the core agenda of this party was to make sure that everyone get a square deal. Mr. Carlos Reyes was on the show a few weeks ago, and he talked about if you don't have land. My cousin speaks on this. If you don't have land, Bahamians don't own nothing. Okay? It's true. If you don't own land, you don't own nothing. You can imagine, you know, with the high prices of items in the shop, $100 a day. Now, in the food store, it's $20. $20 a day. It's basically $2. You understand? That's how the money value has gone down. I mean, when it comes to spending, like buying lumber and buying grocery item. Okay, $50 a day is like $20 when someone gives to you. Because that's how expensive things is. Okay? So they found this 12-year-old. Now we see in the newspaper, we heard something from the minister, Lena Santa Martin, speak on it. And, you know, sadly, you know, she said that, I mean, she was shocked. But there's nothing to be shocked about, Ms. Lena Martin, because we have hundreds of kids and thousands of kids who have been like that for the last 30 to 35 years in this country. You know, we always forget, you know, like this is an eye opener. All right? As the government speaks on how in the last 15, 20 years under this administration, how they have tackled unemployment. According to the statistics that the government gave, they were saying that the statistics, you know, in the last under this term, is the lowest in the history of the country. While I would agree on the government behalf, based on looking at the statistics from the previous government, they probably could look at it and say, you know what, we increase unemployment, or we decrease unemployment in the country. That might look good on the government's behalf for them to speak that, you know, But on average, in this country, like I'm going to tell each and every one of you, I think they're saying about how much percent unemployed. I can't really remember, but I know it was like 33 or 43% or something like that. I don't know how much Bahamians living in the country. You know, it could be anywhere between 400,000, 500,000, 600,000, I can't say, 700,000, you know, because you can't get a definite exact count of every individual that's in the country. It's impossible. It's a lie. You know, there's no one in the world who could go in America and say how much people are in America. It's a lie. No one could go and look at the sea and say, look here, there's a million fish in the sea, you know, because there'd be a million and two fish in the sea, okay? That's a lie. There's no way a nation can wipe out a whole entire race of people. That's a lie. People always find a way to migrate. You understand? Yeah. So, getting back to the 12-year-old, when we take a look at it, many of these kids don't come from a family-oriented home. There are many reasons this 12-year-old was sleeping in the sky, you know. Maybe he disobedient to his grandparents or to his mom or to his dad, where he is completely unruly, where they talk to him so much and they try to get him to do the right thing, you know, with the little they get, they try to provide for him. And he is unable to respond. And based on some of the stuff that you see happening in the communities where fathers and sons, I mean, sons are actually being very disrespectful to their fathers. Daughters being very disrespectful to their mother. You know, words like telling them about their big under this, and sons telling their daddy about the thing I'm worried, and daughters telling their daughters about, daughters telling their mother about their, you know, private part, and then the mother get it agitated. She started telling her daughter about a private part, and fathers and sons back and forth, and this is what our society is breeding today. And it's hard to believe, hearing it come from our political leaders in the country, you know, saying that they are shocked that they see a 12-year-old in an abandoned car. Where you all been living the last 40, 50 years in this country? Huh? Each and every candidate who are part of this political party, whether PLP or FNM, I know that you're part of eternity. You know, you're doctoring into this political party. I have nothing against political party. In fact, if I tell you the truth, I believe that democracy, there's nothing wrong with democracy. I believe that the people who inherit democracy, based on their actions and how they respond to holding power, how they hold malice, how they hold jealousy, how to respond to people who, you know, they could be petty-minded. You could be a prime minister, but you could be very petty-minded. You could, you know, and you could have the staff around you and the people connected to you to do the right thing for the country, you know, to come up with great programs. But there are a lot of spiteful people who hold power, you know. They get power and they believe they better than everyone, you know. And if you hold power, right, and the Bible tells you when you're powerful, you'll be merciful. There's a reason for that. You understand? Because getting rich is a blessing for the father, you know. But understand this. Some people earn their riches, but they were chosen. And you know what they're chosen to earn those riches to do? To help others. You know, some, you know, that's their duty, to help others, because they were blessed. And when they get to the top of their careers or get to be very successful, most of them give back to the less fortunate and help bring up others. And then that trickle down and that keep on manifesting. You know, in our country today, you know, kids roam the streets like that at the age of 12. On the streets of Nassau right now, and they could care nothing but school whatsoever. You understand? while the program is good, and I'm not knocking on it, because we need to have a mechanism in place to go and look for these kids, right? I see they're starting a food program in the school, which I think is a very good thing. But also, I think they need to add more curricular activities. You know, I watched on Facebook the other day, I think it was CC Sweden or Government High, I can't remember the uniform, but they was doing electronics, you know, and the excitement on the young students' face, you know, the young boys' face, they were doing electrical, you know, and the excitement on their face, seeing it on Facebook, is what excites them, because now they're using their hands and their minds, and they listen to the instructor, and he's telling them, you know, this positive, this negative, you know, and you could see how they was intrigued by it. And what we need to understand now is that English, that maths and stuff, that is all good, okay? But we need trades be introduced back in school. Hair braiding. We need barbering. We need phone technician and fixing all these TV and, you know, we need agriculture to be introduced in school. We need fisheries to be teach in school, you know. We need TikTok, where students can have a great idea and then someone can fund them. And then, you know, by funding them, whatever trade they're in, you know, they'd back it and help them start off their own small business, right? So we need to introduce small business in school. That's why I say barbering and cosmetology and stuff like that. Because many of these kids, when they go to school, the statistics state by the Ministry of Education, it states that, you know, it states that in the last 2 years after COVID-19, the kids, them academics decrease, you know, and they showed their grades, I think, a few months ago, which was not good at all. So it means that the education we're teaching the kids in the school will benefit, it will be very beneficial to a lot of students. But if we want to have overall success to get these at-risk kids who are being abused, you know, because I'm going to get back to that, many reasons why, okay? If we introduce programs like fishing in the school right now, and kids learn at a young age, and then as they start to grow, you know, we have fishing programs. You know, they had a program where the Dominican Republic boats were confiscated by the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. And these boats were in good condition. And they were thinking about using some of the boats to actually start some programs with the schools. And that'd be a great thing, because there's millions of dollars can be created through fisheries. Okay? And fish oil is really good for the human body, you know. According to what they were saying about the so-called COVID-19, if you want to not be more protected from it, they said that you'd have to eat healthy. And they said that COVID-19 would attack the immune system, which is in the stomach. So that means what you eat determines how you would catch that false disease. I mean, it was there, but, you know, we found out that it was an outrageous, panic for no particular reason. It was some design to put the World Health Organization in charge of all of the countries that are under its jurisdiction. Yeah. But they tell you, say, eating healthy, watermelon, pineapple, drinking some soursop tea, drinking some canep leaf tea, drinking some fever grass, eating a lot of, tomatoes, cabbage, and all this stuff would build up your immune system. In fact, if you're diabetic, this is the food that they suggest to you instead of eating red meat. So it comes down to eating healthy, right? We have 700 islands, 700 kids. Based on the history that I was reading back on the Bahamas, we had many factories over here selling a lot of canned goods. We needed to reinvent the wheel again. We had beets, we had corn, we had all this stuff. Beans, you know, black-eyed peas, you know, all this stuff, you know. So, you know, teaching agriculture, right, in the family islands, and then encouraging some of the students, you know, whilst they're young, and you're showing them how to grow. And then when they reach a certain stage in school, you know, when they reach teenagers and getting ready to graduate, if there's a grant program, grant them the program. Guide them on how, you know, to manage. You know, they don't have some information. They don't have some knowledge based on the time they were studying. Because, you know, there's something they fall in love with. They're not good in maths and English and et cetera. But they could read and write. But they're great at farming. They're great at agriculture. They're great at doing nails. You know, the females are good. They're great at braiding hair. So that's a business that can be sustained throughout their lives as long as they're dedicated to having a great clientele. They have a great personality with their clientele, you know. That could be a career that can sustain them, you know, to have a better life in the country and be over the minimum wage. Because a person could braid hair, if they have a nice shop, you know, they went to school, they graduate, you know, they get a sniping, start off their business with at least $5,000-$10,000. You direct them how the money management, how the money manage. You direct them how to go to the bank and set up your bank account, your debit card, you know, teach them what profit, you know. Teach them the basic, you know, how to save, you know, and how to continue your business and make it even better. Because, like I said, a person who breeds here can make, or the one customer can make anywhere from $40 to $150. It depends on if this particular breed, say our lady, is reasonable. You know, see, having a business is one thing, right? Being expensive is one thing. Having respect for your customers is the next thing, you know? And having a heart is the next thing, because, you know, you might could charge somebody $80 to, or $100 to do the hair. But you say, no, man, you done been to me, and you always come to me. You know, I do it for you for $70 or $80. And then that person will recommend someone else to you, and that someone else would recommend somebody else to you. And what that does to you, you know, by you being respectful and honest to them and treating them fair, what it does to you now, if you bred one person here and you make like $80, I mean $60, right? But you have persons who go there and say, wow, she does it nice. She ain't expensive, you know. And then in your little braiding shop, you know, you get your little nails you're selling. You get your little water. You get your little wigs and, you know, your little eyelashes and stuff in the store. So when the girls them come, you know, you high-tech. You know, even though this is a little small store as big as the Guardian, you get AC, you know. You take this poison on, you understand? You get your environment clean outside on the side of your place where you live. You get that clean. You gain somebody a couple of dollars to clean that every day. You get your garbage collected on time. You get your rat poison done. Make sure that no rat come around your establishment, you know, because you want people coming in your place. You know, you see a little yard down the road with a little dirty where people could park their car. So you go there and you clean that. So you get a little spot cleanup because you're making money. So now you get about 10 people or 15 people coming to you in a week time. You're making over 1,000. And then if you continue to grow and you know one of your friends who you graduated with or you teach your daughter how to do nails. She could be right there. So when them girls getting their hair braid, your daughter there, or your sister there, and she doing the nails, so you get someone else employed. And that's a creativity that we're going to have to encourage in our students. Because these 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds, many of them are not interested in school. So why I say going to school is great, because the parents, honestly speaking, if it wasn't for school, the Bahamas education system saves so many parents from stress. You know, having those children in school, you know, it's time consuming, it's exhausting, you know, and many of you know this. Most of us send our kids to school, right? And when we send them to school, we breathe a sigh of relief. But when you breathe a sigh of relief, remember that these kids go in the hand of teachers. And if you, the parents, are breathing a sigh of relief, so what the teachers are going to breathe in school, and we could see some of the students are very disrespectful to the teachers. So I just want to remember, we have to have the utmost respect for the teachers, you know. And I also want to say to the teachers, you know, some of you ought to be very tired, you know. So sometimes you get over the character. So I just want to encourage you that even though you might have a bad day, you know, try your best to not go out of character. Because, you know, you get your own poison in life and there's a lot of stuff going on in your life. And sometimes, you know, you're tired of this particular student because this particular student's completely disruptive, telling them to be quiet. They don't want to be quiet. So you have to get physical with them. When you get physical with them, they want to restrain and try fight back and throw a blow. And then, you know, the teacher might have to, you know. And then it's a big thing with the parents, you know, because all it starts from home and in the community. And this child learned that from the community and then was passed on into the home because the child lives in this community. And when they walk these streets, they see fighting, they see cursing, you know, they're in single one-room home. Why is their mom and dad, you know, doing the hanky-panky? The children, them, you know, is right there, laying down on the side in this one bedroom, and they're seeing what their parents doing. They're seeing multiple partners from mom. Not that mom is a bad person, just that mom can't make the right decision. And the guys who she getting are the guys that would have presented, you know, to her, you know. Because a lot of the guys in the country, they don't have no future, you know. Right now, there are thousands of young men on the streets in Nassau, New Providence, right now on the streets, and they don't know where they're headed. They don't know what career they want. They don't know what kind of work they want to do. They don't know where they want to go. That's how serious it is in the country. That 12-year-old is just an indication of what's to come in the near future. So when you're a political member of a political party, you have a great responsibility when you become a member of parliament, and especially with the Progressive Liberal Party. Now, listen to me closely. You have an opportunity when you get elected from God to make a difference in the lives of that 12-year-old. And there are thousands of 12-year-olds in this country and go younger that needs your help and commitment. Holding a government position is a prestige. And I'm going to say this to you. I don't know if this Bahamas is supposed to be a Christian nation. But if it is, right? If it is, do you think that what's happening in our country right now in a small country. Man be voice in the United States of America. You understand? Because we are 1,000 times smaller. I mean, not put together, but you know, we separated 700 islands, 700 keys, you know, a landmass go over here. But I remember the landmass means we could fit in America, like Andres and Cat Island could fit in America. And we wasting them. And we have the similar part as them. America is a system where they are the richest country in the world. They are one of the strongest military in the world. They had the strongest military in the world, but now they look like they seem to be losing that. They had the world in their hands. And they have poverty, homeless people living on their streets. New York, Miami, Florida. But is the richest country in the world. But all that money is spent on is military weapons. Instead of spending it on homes, instead of spending it on empowering people, healthcare, using the trillions they spend to build tanks, warplanes. One, I think it's F-16, right? Jet costs close to over $100 million. And there are newer jets now. Would cost one jet, one tank costing $10-20 million. But one human life isn't even worth half of the price of a tank. But they spend all their money on military. And they're fighting all these wars all over the world so they're bringing peace to people. But yet still in their own country, they have mass shooting. They have racism. They have poverty, homelessness. Okay? Where there is no point of return for that country. Where it's become so corrupted that it's out of the hands of the government. The government can't do nothing but the gun laws in America no more. The government can't do nothing about the drugs in America. The government can't do nothing but a person who wants to commit suicide and mass murder. They cannot predict these things. But the vast majority of Americans are going into food stores, churches, shooting up black people in the churches. You know, it's rare that you see a black person of color go and go shoot up a church or go shoot up a place where people party in, you know. But we have a black and black high killing in all the states in America. So no excuses. But we don't do the mass shooting, like where we go and just discriminately go in a church and see black people and just open fire or see white people in open fire. Or go to a parade and walk around AR-15 and someone mess with you for some particular reason, you just pick up your gun and you shoot them. And the court would justify that, so you have a right to protect yourself, even though you walk on AR-15. You know? That's how crazy it is. So, just like how they're the richest country in the world, the Bahamas is probably closest to them in the top five. As one of the richest countries in the world. But yet still we have poverty, child abuse, homeless problems, high unemployment, right? High diabetes, okay? Cost of living is high. Children are not going to school. The police in the station are just, you know, man, it's crazy. I'm going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
So, just like good night. The richest country in the world.
I think you're tired, you know. So, yes. me get excited. All politicians know, getting elected, that's what the problem is. Stop coming on the news when you're seeing a little Archer, little Marco Archer, lose his life to a sexual predator. And then we come, ooh, Marco Archer, I feel sorry for the young man. Or the little girl, Bella, who got abused from her stepdad and her mom. We go, oh, it's hysterical. Then we forget about it. Huh? All politicians know that as long as we have high unemployment in the country, we are not doing a good job. All politicians know if we average 100 murders per year, that the job is just begin. All politicians know that when you look on the news and you see people sleeping in the car and people coming on the news and on Eyewitness News and Guardian Radio, and they're saying, you know, that I just get paid, you know? And the young lady state, I just get paid for three something. And when I pay my light bill, my water bill, I leave with $10. Each and every one of you politicians on the PLP and the FNM and all on these maternities notice, why y'all don't do something about it and stop making about party? All I look on the social media the other day, you had this old man, you know? No disrespect. He, on social media, coming right now to you, caller. I guess this was the PLP convention. There's a big ruckus going on social media a few days ago for the by-election. It was about Shane Gibson and this Cartwright or whatever. I think Cartwright guy, what's it? Right? And one saying is Fred Mitchell, boy. And they're saying that their choice is Shane Gibson. And they're supposed to be BLB. All these people just want power. So I guess the board chose, I think, Cartwright. I can't remember. Whatever guy name is. I don't really pay these stuff no mind, but I have to be a professional. I get it right in front of me. But anyway, yeah. They want Shane. Shane was denied. And his party clones, no disrespect to them. No disrespect to them. It's their action. It was on social media. And I thought this was supposed to be where there's a democracy where, you know, where when you vote, the body accept it. So anyway, it was on social media. And all you could hear, brave got to go. Brave got to go. Right? Because they ain't get their way. Because, see, they want Shane Gibson getting there because if Shane Gibson got that position, he could do some things for them. See, this is why this 12-year-old is always going to be left out. Because, like I tell you, there's nothing wrong with democracy. It's those who inherit the democracy. You know, they want democracy for them. They want the riches for them. They're using democracy for them. You understand? But this 12-year-old say they could represent them when this party getting power. All we're going to hear again is when the next Marco Archer and these same individuals who say they want to attack and they want to help the BME people by being a PLP or being an FNM, they don't care less about no PLP and FNM. Some of these people just care about themselves. They don't even care about the prime minister. Because, man, what makes me laugh is this. Caller, come on right now. Come on, little second, 1 second. Come on, don't hang up. This one make me laugh. Brave got to go. Brave got to go. This old man must be but most 90. Okay? And when you hear his voice, everyone, brave got to go. Brave got to go. Brave got to go. Look like he ready to dead. You run your wine, but politics. Said you worrying but getting your life straight. What that can do to brave? Y'all can't do brave nothing. Y'all think your nurse and going to the fish fry with Shane Gibson. Shane Gibson and security over no Fred Mitchell. Fred Mitchell over Brave Davis. We all know this, the party go with seniority. Fred Mitchell being a member of the PLP before Brave Davis. Yes, Brave Davis could be the prime minister. But seniority, just like on the police force, the commissioner of police there. But there are officers who outrank him, even though he's the commissioner, but they have years over him. But he's the commissioner. But some officers have served and do more years than the commissioner. You understand? So Fred Smith is one of the founding members of the Progressive Liberal Party. You think all the chat, but Fred got to go and Brave got to go. Who y'all is? Y'all only making noise in the market. That's why y'all quiet now. And this is the kind of stuff we got to deal with. Matters that are important to the Bahamian people are not being dealt with because these individuals don't really care about these 12-year-olds. They don't care about Marco Archer. They don't care about the 5,000 students coming to the school every year. The only thing they care about is for us to vote for them. They become successful. They get contracts. They take care of their family and take who they take care of. And they can leave us with this 100 murders. They can leave us with all these kids getting abused. They can leave us with the homeless them. People on the road, they can leave us with repeated offenders in the prison, the condition it is. You know what happened? You just kill up everyone, kill up all of us, just kill up one another in this country and pray off one another. And every year, we could bury 100 different set of behemoths and all of us could cry in this 121/7. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside In the City on Garden Radio. Good night. Good night. The boy sitting there again. Okay? So, Miss Lenis Hannah Martin, I respect you, Mom. But, Mom, the work never done. Never done. We have a long way to go in this country. Okay? A long way we have to go in this country. And our political leaders will be, and the FNM, our Honorable Michael Pintado, who's wired to be the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I can't dictate if you are going to be successful or you're not going to be successful. That up to the universe and that up to the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, which I am above. You yourself, sir, I hope you're instructing those candidates who you'll be electing that things have to change in this country. We have to be able to give people grant. We have to be able to give Bahamian people land. I want to instruct the Bahamian people who have land on the Family Island, Freeport, Grand Bahama, Cat Island, you know, everyone asking for this land. Let me tell you all Bahamian people something. A lot of us, Brands and all of us, get land in Andres. Get your lazy hip up. You're running talking with this crown land. You understand? We are naked being talked about so much. Crown land. Listen to me. There are so many behemoths in this country that have crown land that is on the Family Island that you inherit on the Family Island. I'm going to get mine next year. God's better life I live. I'm going to take my father down in Andres and I get my lazy hip and I'm going to get my land that was given to the slave masters to the Brands. Because let me just tell you, the last name you have is the slave masters who left. Yeah, in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So get your lazy self up. A lot of you here in national problems of land in Eleuthera, y'all have land in Auckland, y'all have land in Freeport. Many of you might know have no collateral main funds, but that can't stop you from going and claim. Go claim your land, people. Go claim your land that is your own. Go claim your name is on it. Go to the governor's office, go to the commissioner office on these family islands. And inquire your Brown, Roll, Thompson, all this stuff, and you know that your family leave your land, your great-great-grandmother leave you, or your great-granddaddy leave your land in this Abaco. Go claim it. Go claim it. And turn it into something, a resort. Turn it into homes. Turn it into a company. Do something with it. We can take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on inside.
Hey, how you doing?
Good night. What's up?
Sparky here.
Yeah. Okay, yes, sir.
You know, about four or five times you said, call the hole, I'm coming to you now. I'm coming to you now.
What's that? What's that now, Sparky?
And then the phone hang up twice. I had to call back three times.
Boy, Sparky, you wouldn't stop, you know.
Anything, top of the day to you.
Sparky, you wouldn't stop. You wouldn't stop.
Yeah, man, you got to keep it going on. You can't just crumble like a wall, you know. You got to fight, man. Like you say, you got to go do something.
Go do something. Go get your land. We have all kind of ground. I just want to say this before I let you go, Sparky.
Bahamians, a lot of Bahamians in this country now, it's in the province, who ran homes right now and ran apartments and ran all this stuff. A lot of y'all, yeah, Ramens, like my cousin, Bronze, Thompson, and all the last name, all y'all get land on the family island. Get your lazy self up. Ask your family members who you know. Ask them some question. Show them some respect, and they might tell you who owned the land. And then go.
Listen, go ahead. Scrooge, let me tell you something. It is not as easy as you say.
It ain't easy to say. Nothing easy in life. Ain't nothing easy, Sparky. Ain't nothing easy in life, Sparky. Ain't none of us come here with nothing. Ain't nothing easy in life. So if you're trying to tell the Bahamian people, don't go. Where you gonna start? You need to start somewhere.
Yeah, but see.
I said that you need money, but some.
I'm not talking about that, Scrooge. You imagine?
Go ahead.
You live in the capital where the majority of the population is. Well, a majority of finance and the e-commerce is in New Providence. Mm. For you to jump on a plane to get to a family island or a boat, you need money to get there.
I agree.
If you ain't got no place to live, you can live on the beach.
I agree.
Can't fly in the mosquito beat bang up. If you're going to dug or clean the land, you're going to need
tractor
to clean the land.
I agree.
You got all of this stuff, you need money.
I agree.
Just afford to eat in the outer island. If you're buying some of the bamboo shop for $15,
I agree.
You know what it costs? Down in Meguana.
I'm at $25 a day.
But maybe more than that.
I agree.
Gas down there,
I agree.
$8, $9 a gallon.
I agree.
But see what I'm saying? As like I say, and a lot of people must be tired of hearing me say it. I've been trying to get Crown land right here in New Providence from Finland was in power. I finally got 2 acres the other day off of Gladstone Road.
Okay.
In 2021. Well. Now, I've been trying to get it cleared, but the problem is to get to the land, there's what you call an off of Gladstone Road access road to get to the farm area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Ministry of Agriculture passed it on to the Ministry of Works.
Mm-hmm.
This was supposed to be done from 2021.
Mm-hmm.
This is 2023.
Mm-hmm.
I got the document sitting right on the bed right here,
uh-huh.
Signed by the minister. And I, Scrooge, if you were to look at me, I could show you the document.
Yes, sir.
I got it on the
5th. I listened to some shows you talk about
2021.
This. I listened to a couple of shows you talk about the same minister.
Look at Scrooge. They ain't do the access road yet.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, Tuesday, me and my mom with my tractor decided we could go across the road.
Hold on.
Land number 64.
All them things you say just now, right? You were able to do. You get your tractor. Why? You say government. You notice what you say? You say you and your friend get the tractor and y'all doing. So that's the little encouragement I give him right there, you know?
But you see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
All the rest of the farmers around there, they still waiting on the government to do the access road.
Yeah.
So their land's sitting there. Mm-hmm. Me and my man, who's already been paid, he decided to get his tractor.
Yes, sir.
Down there, he says, Sparky.
You and him decide what y'all do?
We say we going.
We
paid about 5 months ago.
Now you see the problem. Now you right. You on the right track. You say.
I just want
to give the people some encouragement. You say you and him. That means you decided again to get together. See, it takes one or two people to do some things together. You understand? That's what I'm talking about. That kind of encouragement I'm trying to give people. Go ahead, Spock.
Yeah, see, we decided after all the months waiting on the truck to start. They start, they stop. Then on top of that, they got some illegal Haitians down there build houses on the government farmland area.
Mm-hmm.
They say they can't complete the road because these illegal houses in the way of the road, the access road. So we decided we'll get Dozer tractor on my property 63 and 64,
uh-huh.
Sit it on there and clean up my 2 acres. My neighbor next to me called me this evening and said, Sparky, your land looking good.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking good. It looked like it nearly cleared on 2 acres, okay?
Now
my man and me, we decided on Tuesday, we can take my daughter who came in from Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
We go in on there, we can take pictures of the tractor starting up.
Yeah.
And we send it on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And everybody called me and said, Sparky, congratulations. Yeah, at least you're starting.
I said the same thing. I mean, yes. Yes, sir.
That we start. Them other farmers who waiting for.
What happened to them?
You don't sit right there and wait.
Now you're getting it, buddy.
I'm on a roll.
You're on a roll. You feel good, eh? You feel good, eh?
Look, I feel good because I done got the plants started in my yard.
Okay.
When I start next month,
yes, sir.
I can start putting down trees. Down
okay,
there.
Then. Okay.
But I know they can teach my fruit. But anyway, have a good day.
Okay, Sparky. Thank you very much. And like I was saying, you got to start somewhere. Yes, you need resources. I agree on everything you talk about going down. It's going to be very expensive and stuff like that. But let me give you a word of advice. Listen, take a leap of faith. All right? Take a leap of faith. All right? Trust me. Take a leap of faith. Valentin O'Brien, me, I ain't working in about 30 years. I work in the community, do community work. But I've never had a 9-to-5, not one day in my life. But yet still, I'm able to struggle for the last 15, 20 years now working on my restaurant. So I come on the show. And I scrapping. Stop for a year, stop for 2 years. You had no income coming in. And I continued. Now I'm most finished. Now I've spent close to probably $300,000 on my establishment because I messed up some spots and I did repair it and do all that stuff. But now when I go and I walk around, I'm almost finished accomplishing my goal. Right? Now I'm going to be able to have a restaurant where I can earn an honest living. And I might, in a week time, could hire about 3 people. And I can make myself anywhere from $315 to $3,000 a week for myself. I feel good about that. And I had to start. Now, I had no money. I had no money besides what I hustling with on the streets. All right? So that's what I'm talking about. Many of you who live in here, yes, like Sparky said, there's no light and access road. But take a leap of faith. You understand? Someone on the island get a tractor. Someone you start to talk to when you start to say, I'm going to build a cottage here, or I'm going to build a gas station here, or I'm going to build a convenience store here, or I'm going to build a launch. Then someone's going to come on the side of you. Okay? Because NASA wasn't developed one time. Someone come up the line and just build something. And then someone say, you know what? I want to invest too. And they start to build. And then they start to work together. And then things start to build. Because you remember, the pirates was here. No structure was here. Before that, our ancestors was here. Before Christopher Columbus came here and said he discovered it. And when they were here, they made huts. But there was no buildings, but huts was here. So and they had no money. Did the Arawaks had money? That the people who live the old way had money. Did Abraham had money? I know he had cattle and sheep and goat, which was money. And he used that to trade. And if money was wrong, he would use that to get money. But they had no money. Money ain't everything. You got to understand that if you believe in the Father and you go and you start something or nothing, it's not going to be easy. Nothing in life is easy. Nothing in life is easy. You think Brave get to be prime minister just like that? Do you think Hubert Ingram get to be prime minister just like that? Do you think the Commissioner of Police get to be prime minister just like that? Huh? Do you think you get to be Dwight Schrohn, chairman at Guardian Radio just like that? You work your way up. Do you think Bamboo Shark owner, Missy Lane Pinder, get Bamboo Shark, different location in the Bahamas in the U.S. just like that? You know? They take a leap of faith. Beauty Bakery is one small bakery out there on Market Street. Now that's a multi-million dollar business. Huh? Money ain't everything. There's other resources that would come to you if you see a vision and go at it. So I'm encouraging you guys. This Bahamas, this Nassau, like Sparky stated, is the capital, the financial sector. Well, this financial sector cannot sustain the population that is currently in the Bahamas now, with illegal immigrants here who coming on the sloops illegally. Everyone else is Bahamians. Okay? Money going out. So the money is collected. Millions that is made downtown from the six
5.6 million visitors that come to our shore.
Canada and the U.S. cares out millions of dollars because they don't want their U.S. dollars floating around in the inner city community. The only American money you see coming in the hands of Bahamians are from the taxi drivers, the McDonald's workers, those who work downtown and have close connection with the tourists. You know, if a taxi driver carried a tourist, they'd either use a credit card or they'd give him American money. When he puts that money in his pocket and when he leave in from downtown, he would go and stop to the Chinese or he'd go stop to a little convenience store. And that's how the American money is get in the rotation over the hill. Or the maids and stuff like that who get tipped from the tourists or those who work on a cruise ship and breeding here. And when they make the American money or the horse and carriage guys, and when they make their money, you know, they bring it over and they spend different sports. You don't think the Bahamas supposed to have in any city community, we're supposed to have more American money than Bahamian money. You understand? That's why we're seeing so much poverty in the country. Because we're not tapping into the number one business in the country. And that's tourism. You understand? Just like talk about the trades. And this is why I'm going to say that. Unemployment in this country is the way it is. It's because we cannot find a way to produce business and small jobs. Listen why. Look at Bay Street people. Bay Street is only about 200 steps away from Grandstand, from Mason Addition. Come down the steps, go up 66 steps. Come down 66 steps, you go on to the next steps at 55. There's four steps on top of Fort Finn Castle. And there are four steps that take you down to Mason Addition. Okay? They were designed for the workers who would work close to the downtown. They would use those steps, and then they use 66 steps to go down to Bay Street. And then a lot of people would have their stalls. Those steps were designed to let the tourists come down in the inner city community to spend American dollars. Do you know how many different business aspects the tourism market that we don't even benefit from? We don't benefit from the breeding. We don't benefit from the nail technician. We don't benefit from the various different items that could be sold in small stores that the tourists, when they're coming over the hill, they want to buy, like coconut water or conch salad or anything Bahamian or fennec, you know, steamed fish and all this stuff. You know, all these is ways to be innovative for the market because you have a volume of 6.6 million people. I mean, estimated to go about 8.7 million. If we could get a lot of small business to focus and develop the community to have a tourist mind thinking on how we could get them to spend American dollars in the hands of Bahamians in any city community, we would have unemployment down this country within 10 years. We would see a complete change around from the aspects of the people thinking into being into, from being violent to being into creatively building basket and seeing that they could build basket and make hundreds of dollars because they have a volume of people coming in the community. Because a business is not going to be successful unless you have a volume of customers. With the volume of guests that comes to our shores every year, we have that. We have the volume of customers. We just need the development in the inner city communities. We need the mindset of the small business to be taught in the schools, to be taught in the inner city community and help people construct, get funds to construct their small businesses in the inner city community. And we target the tourists when they come in the community, and that money will trickle down all the way to South Beach. We're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Garden Radio.
Bless you, Scoozy Brian.
Bless.
Yeah, I like the topic, right? But, you know, of course, employment is just a little enjoyment. It's only designed for survival, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically the crumbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you and I know, you should be well-read. You have to realize what regulations are in the U.S., in our country, in other countries, regulators, the Food and Drug Administration, the Federal Trade Commission, whatever they are.
Talk about it.
Most people don't understand regulations are designed to take away your freedoms and let the government make decisions for you.
Mm.
So as time go by, they have made it harder and harder to get rich.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Notice our post-scamdemic, the inflation isn't going down, right? You see the prices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see the prices, Scoogey.
Yes.
You know, you got people. See, you know, the inflation. I saw an article pop up where it's stagflation or inflation, and this guy said something very scary, but I didn't delve into it. I didn't call lying. You know, he said they're ready to make the banks insolvent. You know, so you know, these are some scary times in the world when you look at it. But the Negro, like me, right, personally, right, I do a little poetry thing, right. There's money in it, you know, Scoogey. But I'm not able to have too many employees because, you know, I just, the young people are not interested in it. And artificial intelligence wouldn't be able to do a policy scoochie.
Mm-hmm.
People would look down at what you do, right? But if you really was to try to do professional, scoochie, I do car seats and things, do you know?
Okay.
Yeah, any kind of, listen to me. People would try to look down at what you do, but they never know how difficult it is to do it, you know, professional work. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, I decided that, all right, I had a little idea, you know, like I see if I could buy stuff from the States and sell them, like policy supplies,
mm-hmm.
The tools, et cetera, because I see, like, in this country, right, the quality of staple guns that they're selling is so pathetic, right,
mm-hmm.
until I almost walk back into an establishment and throw it on the ground after they didn't want to exchange it. I used it for like I fired a couple of times and it started to give me problems. I called the people in, who, mm-hmm. like, up in the company. I said, man, you know, this is a disgrace, you know, this is the worst staple gun in the world. My mom had a staple gun made in Germany. The gun is about 20-something years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it still works. All you do is get a kit fit. It never goes bad. I could always fix it.
Matter of fact, Germany?
Yeah, it's from Germany.
Yeah, you know, anything they build lasts forever. They put affection.
But yet we still say we have a quality and standards bureau. But, you know, the political structure is this. The world is designed to keep people limited, Scoogey. That's what I'm saying.
I understand.
So, of course, Brave got to go. But she ain't can't come, right? But I mean, like, look at that. Hey,
guys, let me ask you a question. I cut you off. Let me ask you a question, man. Listen.
But,
when the old man who was shouting, no disrespect there. How he sound to you?
He sound like he's drunk.
Say it for my man. Let me get off, man. Because, man, say it for my man. Let me get off.
I don't have too much zeal because, you know, I know the legacy of politics.
Okay.
And I was wondering, maybe you could answer this. Because
Go ahead.
Why are Bahamian people so engrossed? I mean, the grassroots. And basically some people, you know, this question is very easy to answer. You know. Why are people so engrossed and pacified and absorbed with politics when it really doesn't benefit us as a collective? It benefits a few individuals who are very fanatical when it comes to their party, right?
Some people living in the Matrix.
The country, you understand what I'm saying? Is they can be on the ship. The ship can be here.
And they ain't ramming nobody else.
You understand what I'm saying?
And they ain't ramming nobody else.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, I like to see you struggling to do what you got to do. But, Scoogey, you know and I know. That's what I tell my big brother.
Go ahead.
You know, we doing some things. We're fixing up the rooms there. Now, he order some roofing material. Way. But, and then he's, you know, he rushing. I said, but, you know, hell come first. You got to pay this money here for this help, for this and that. Mm-hmm. I said, man, everything is piecemeal. You don't go, you understand, one step at a time. You see what I'm saying? But I want to, this year, I say this, I want to start selling the policy supplies and materials because the people, they're killing you with the prices, and in post-pandemic, ain't nothing going down. So
yeah.
I find a way to economize, reuse certain things, even the quality of the products. You know,
and the poultry is real good.
The stocks that you make.
So, cuz, let me ask them. Let me ask them, cuz. Jesse, you know them old chair? I see people throw the old chair out, right?
Yeah.
But the woods, the frame is still there. You fix them just like brand new again.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you just buy the foam, mm-hmm. you buy the dark one. What you do is you lift up the chair.
All right.
You lift up the chair. You look at the frame and the structure.
Okay.
Sometimes the wood is high quality,
uh-huh.
and sometimes it's pressed wood from China. So once it's pressed wood from China or America, I it ain't no more good because of what you understand what I'm saying. But when I lift them up and I see the older ones, that's what mm-hmm. I. But only the rich people really just call me. to keep their furniture because they know the value of it. Yeah. They know that they're not making
so they don't throw it to the garbage.
High quality wood anymore.
Yeah,
I've seen some wood so hard until you have to screw in and take the screw out with the drill and carry it back in a couple of times just to get it to sink.
Yeah,
like them red wooden thing, you know. So everything is quality. There's nothing in the world is the same. Everything is being done economy wise. Even the leather, the material. The tack strip that they use, they're so thin. They must, China got to be making them. They're so inferior.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. You know, when you live a certain age, you could see the changes in things and quality. You know what I mean, Scorsese? You don't think so? You could see the difference in the quality.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you might just headed down a dark path, Scorsese. And so, it's going to be harder for us to make money, not make money, but to get rich.
Yeah.
Like, or really, really excel. You know, they have all kinds, even post slavery. America and all over the world, they invented what they call Jim Crow laws. But the Jim Crow laws are multifaceted, even on the financial, the banking side, where there was discrimination in the banking system, where the housing. It was multifaceted. It was so multifaceted until the average Negro couldn't even fathom what was going on. It was you didn't send the buses to pick up the children from the school.
So what happened? It's the same thing in the Bahamas. It's the same thing. So talk about the stuff, what happened in Jim Crow, and see if they affect on the city. Go ahead and talk. It's a new Jim Crow.
Yeah, it's a new Jim Crow, you see? And that's what's going on right now. See what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but anyhow, just take care, man. Bless up.
Okay, bless up. And remember now, I'll be coming to your store to get my tables and chairs for my restaurant in December, God Spare Life. I was thankful, you know, for the people who assist me. And I was glad that I continue not to give up because, you know, it's very difficult. And like I said, I ain't worked for 30 years, but I work in the community very, very hard. But I never had a 9-to-5 because I can't take people's bullshit. Honestly speaking, I can't work for nobody and tell me this and tell me that. And I working hard. No. So for all y'all who don't want to work, you work. But let me give you a thing. I don't want to be talking to me 20 years, 30 years on the job. No, I won't be working for, if I was to ever work, which I'm going to work in my restaurant. I come right now and call out. I would work to any company and given my all for about 10 years, 15 years. If I were to Kentucky, I would have been working for 10 years. But in the meantime, I would have been building my own duplicate Kentucky, bringing everything. You know, if I have to steal the ingredients, I can steal that around my community where I live. I sell in the cheapest, best fried Kentucky. And then when the boss find out, I didn't get ready in my pants and you could kiss me because I get my own business. What do you say? So if you work at a McDonald's, that's what you do. Learn. You work in the Burger King, learn how to fry the burgers and stuff and, you know, just try it, do something home. You know? Save some of your money and go invest it in these little small business. You could do certain things, people. You know? Let me take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Pleasant, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Good evening to you.
Yeah, I heard you talking about the American money trickling down to the inner city and blah, 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 right?
Yes, sir.
But I want you to know that, you know, back in the day, you had like 4 million tourists, blah, 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 right? Mm. But the thing, what I see is going on, because I work downtown, too.
Yes, sir.
And you know, from Bill Gates' time, they're trying to get a cashless society.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more prevalent now that most tourists who come, they only come with credit cards. And so it don't really trickle down. Most of them don't even want to drive a taxi because they don't have no cash money.
Yes, sir.
You understand? You got to front them that in your...
I mentioned it.
Yeah, because people don't understand. You have a lot of tourists come here, but they don't have no money.
No, they use credit cards and et cetera.
People say they broke, they ain't broke.
No, they have debit cards.
They don't have no cash money.
They debit cards.
Yeah, that's what they're running on. And it's even going to get worse. So
it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because either we digitize and see what we could do, have our own portable credit card machine, or, you know, we got to do something.
Or we can come by
right
and
now,
eat.
Right now, it's even hard for waitress to get tip. How they can get tip?
Yeah.
You know, they just got to rely on what they call it?
Commission.
Yeah, right? But see, that's a problem. That's
yes,
gonna be a problem.
Yes, sir.
I agree. Yes,
I mean, we're not educating the tourists to come here to say, hey, look here, make sure bring something to go to the ATM so
yeah.
you get some money.
Yeah.
To pay
yeah.
the car drivers, to tip the people.
Yes, sir.
The
yes,
sorry
sir.
Drivers. You know the horse
yes,
and carriage boy said they ain't got no credit card machine.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
You understand? So even though they won't go on the carts and carriage, they ain't gonna do it.
Yes, I understand. Yes, sir. You make good sense.
Yeah, we got keep that in our minds.
We got to have a conversation
on to
upgrade
that.
With the information regarding our tourists come to the country. And also, we have to upgrade the citizens to be able to deal with the fact that we're going cashless.
Yeah, because next 5 years, hey, we can be in trouble if we ain't get that technology, man.
Boy, more robbing and killing going on now, eh? You know that man say? What?
Yeah.
People got to pull a gun on you and take it here. You.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Because
ain't no cash in your pocket.
Is, I said, well,
boy,
I,
see, if you don't get this crime under control,
is this.
Go ahead, sir.
If a nigga come to rob you and all you get is credit card,
you in trouble?
You're a dead man.
You in trouble because nigga
you's
belly bubbling.
You
think he into you? You think
because
he could be
in the... come and go to all this
what?
All this
but go to teller and all that?
What?
Why you putting my hot corn in you?
Yeah, man.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Up, man.
Thank you very much for two. Just as serious as this. And especially, like I tell you before, if we're not empowering people, we're not giving them land, we're not teaching them trade in school, we're not giving them opportunities to become small business owners. Those guys, like that 12-year-old sleeping in a car, who's going to rebel, who's not going to have connection to have no debit card, who ain't going to have no access to no cash, they're just relying on the human instinct. And that is a gun. You understand? Those guys are going to be 10 times more dangerous and deadlier because, you know, they're more desperate and you ain't getting no cash. That's why what I'm saying is very important. We have to invest in our kids. We have to find a way on how we can educate the next generation. The fact that we're going cashless, what we're going to do. We're going to encourage them to get the proper education, what procedure, how to get your debit card, how to get a passport. You know, how to use the money transfer and all this stuff. It's crazy. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. Caller, you there? I guess they left. Yeah. And I just want to encourage Bahamans. Listen, man. This Bahamas can't deal with all of us, okay? Can't deal with all us, y'all. Yes, this is the financial sector. This is the old way of thinking. You understand? Andres can be developed. Okay? Freeport. Done developed, but just need maintenance and some new creative ideas. But Andres can be developed. Cat Island can be developed, which is getting developed. Don't you see what Chester Cooper's doing? Don't you see what Brave Davis is doing? Now, they have the money, Sparky, have the Greek. And they have the power, because no one can stop the prime minister and the deputy prime minister. They have access to all the ministries. Daniel Junior Minister, who have to go, if he wanted the light to get turned on the H Street Park, he have the right to minister. He'd have the right to the minister of public works. He has no power. You know? Yeah. So I don't encourage people. My Nassau's too small. And everything Sparky said, you know, like it's expensive. But people got the way to get it now, you know? Some of you got tractors and y'all could wait to get in and start build your own subdivision. Y'all just Sparky say, you know, he gone and decide to, him and his friend, waiting on government, no show. So they decide to go get their tractor, blah, 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 you know. But Sparky also put in for his grand land. So Sparky, even you start off with nothing because you had the sense and the desire to say, hey, they giving us grand land. You hear about it? You ain't got lazy and say, oh, I ain't into that. Huh? You say, I going to check it out. Because if it's crying on, let me go apply. And you going to apply and you get approved. You get approved. You get it because you had the audacity and the common sense. You know? And the importance of knowing what that land could be for you. You ain't like the rest of us. Oh, I get all this. I get this land here and I get this house here. I could do something with it. Never do nothing with it and you're still paying rent. Why some are so stupid? Some people get house and paying rent. Huh? What? And we have brothers and sisters who have houses, and they don't like one another. And before the minute, this house would be down. That's how we go. This house would be down. And this yard, dirty. So now one of the nephews or cousin said, you know, and he decided to go and clean it up. Boy, when he go there, and he started cleaning up, you would see this uncle, this auntie who you ain't seen in 20 years, who ain't even been here. Well, what you doing here? This ain't on. I was just coming to do this. You was never going to do a crop shit. Excuse my language. Anytime you make a move, whether it's your family member to go do something, why be so niggly? Huh? Why you think all the Chinese them making all the money in the city community? I know disrespect to the Haitian people, and the Haitian people get all the breakfast on and all the Jamaicans get all the barber shops, all the small businesses owned by Haitian nationals and Bahamians, yeah. But people who came from some are not illegal immigrants, some just, you know, got here through their paperwork by the Ministry of Immigration, got sorted out. Then, you know, some did the whatever. But all the businesses now, I know no disrespect to them. It's a plus to them. It's for us. Because we too niggly being in politics. You see it. My prayer been feeding you so long. So all the little contract you and your family, the members, them getting there. Who you all talking to, you want to know? Talking about, son, you look like you're ready to dead. You understand? Because why? Shane Gibson. That's us. That just us, bro. You know, when you talk about the black crab syndrome, why we need to look, when Michael Jackson look at the man in the mirror, that's what I mean. I don't hate nobody. I love everyone. If you have a problem with me, that's your business. I stick to do me. Huh? Listen to me. I had my ex-girlfriend. Two of them stand by me after they break up. And we break up, right? And I never break over them. I just stop talking to them. And in a year time, I'd hear a call. We still talk, you know. I keep a relationship with them because I don't hate people. You know, if things ain't working my way, that don't mean I have the hate and say bad things, you know. I as a mature guy, as a man, and I know that you can't go around hurting people. Someone hurt me, that don't mean I got to go hurt them, you know. So they call, I'm going to talk to you about something. You know, I get my place, you know, and I get a little spare room or two. And they'd say, I have some problem with my landlord, you know, landlord bill run up on me. I know you get a room now. You don't mind if I stay there for 1-3 months? Now, remember, I tell this to my ex-girl, now I get an ex-girl friend now who I talking to. And sometimes she'd come by me. So now I have a choice to make. She and I need. Now, I'm not saying I love her. Yeah, I love her. But the love what I have for her, I separate that. I compassionate because I understand she in need and she have a little girl or a little boy. And if I say no to her, because she might feel I hate her. And if I say no to her, and I try and go away with the little boy or the little girl, that on me. Now, I know it's not my responsibility, but it is. Because we are a tree. And the father tells you, help strangers. You understand? That's our job. So I have a spare room. It ain't serving me no purpose. I can let her stay there for a couple of months and help encourage her and show that you can love in different ways. I don't have to love you to have sex with you. I don't love you because you ain't giving me peace of front. I mad or you scheming on me. And it is what it is. Because when you're scheming, you're going to need doing you. So what a sense of me arguing with you when you're doing you. So I'm going to do me? But that don't mean I got to hate you. No. And that's us now. And I learned to mature. I learned to show love, compassion in different ways, love in many different stages. I learned to care. I learned to have compassion. I learned to understand. You understand? And unless we learn as a country,
learn to forgive, not forget. We're not going nowhere, and we need to learn. And like I said, you know, we niggly. You know how many houses in this country right now that family members can't get along? The minute you go try to do something right, there's a problem. Mm-hmm. And that's how we are.
Okay, let me give you a prime example. I got about 4 more minutes. We had a restaurant which was designed to help empower people. And they named the Palm Tree. I was a little boy. And this was on the side of Purity Bakery. Just as Purity Bakery was established, the Palm Tree was established. Both of these establishments started off small, but they were able to create millions. The Palm Tree was owned by Mr. Russell. Okay? Mr. Russell had a future, and I'm not disrespectful to the family if they're listening, but I'm telling this to the family. The family is a disgrace when it comes to the legacy of their father. That's how I'm going to say it, quite blank like that. Mr. Russell, I know him from when I was a little boy, sell the hamburgers, chicken snack, and the volume of customers that he had coming in Grandstand, which, see where Purity Bakery is, down from C.I. Walker, that empty parking lot right in that building, on the side of the empty parking lot, on the side of Purity Bakery, that was the Palm Tree. That was one of the best fast food restaurants in the country. Making more money than Kentucky. Making more money than McDonald's. You listen to me? That's the customers should be lying up outside for Mr. Russell hamburgers and double burgers and triple burgers. And those burgers are only going for like $1.25, and then they start to increase the price. Okay? Mr. Russell being about 30, 40 years. I don't know what happened. He fall ill. And then he was no longer to continue his business. He ended up passing away. Now, I tell you, this business was making millions. Now, I don't know what happened to the brothers and sisters. They try wake it out, but there was always confusion. One minute, the Palm Tree opened. The next minute, Palm Tree closed. Under new management, under new brother or new cousin or somebody. So this young guy named Valentino, he ended up ran the restaurant, probably from the farm. They know him. He was working there with Mr. Russell. I remember Duke and all these guys out to the Palm Tree. And then he ended up getting it. He ended up starting to make some money and, you know, paying the family for using the building. But he didn't call it the Palm Tree. And the man listened. One of the family members probably got mad. I don't know. And then he ended up leaving from there. And him and his wife ended up going open. The Chinese, now Valentino, leave from that small establishment. He started at the former Palm Tree, and he went on to start his own business. Now this guy is a multimillionaire, and I watch this guy start off from nothing when he go into the Palm Tree, because, you know, he lose all his customers. He's still at the location, but all volume of customers was gone. But he's able to manage it up again. And then when you look, family, must you see that? Oh, you can't make it money. So they go and try it. And when they go and try it, look at the building now. The building being there now for about 15 years. I say, run right down. Huh? That's what has happened. Supposed to respect one another in the family and keep the family business going on. And that's how that's behaviors. So I got 1 more minute, so let me close with the show. And like I said, you know, we need land. We need small businesses, okay? We need trades to be introduced back in school. I'm talking about nail technician, hair technician, barbering, agriculture, fisheries, electronics, phone technician, and many other trades. We need to have in these schools so these kids can learn these trades so that when they come out, they can be productive citizens, plumbers, okay? In inner city communities, we need community centers. You understand? And educational centers. We also need, the parks to be with programs from January to December if we want to change what goes on in our country. But to the Minister of Education, Ms. Glenana Martin,
I think that you know exactly what needs to be done. And I just want to say to you that don't be surprised you're seeing 12-year-olds in the car. What I would like for you to consider is to continue to come up with creative ideas with the food program. Find deep in your heart if you could actually add a curricular system of small trades in the school and see if you can ask them to put small business training in the schools. Okay? So I want to thank my producer. I want to thank Guardian Radio. I want to thank all the callers that call in tonight. You guys gave a wonderful, wonderful contribution tonight. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside Indy City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. I'll see you next week on Guardian Radio. And enjoy your night and have a wonderful time. Drive safely and see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Bohemian people, I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no bathtub, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.